So, now this is where we got to, and, well, we ended in a moment of conflict, let's say. In character, maybe a little bit out of character as well, but let's say we got over that. But, yeah, you visited Salon Kitty and had a great old time of it, which basically involved getting into a massive fight, drinking some drugged booze, being hypnotized stroke mind-fucked by Kitty, smashing a high-ranking Nazi in the face, dragging him out of Salon Kitty, being attacked by a group, a massive feral gang of cat things, and then heading back to the Bonobo.
That sounds like us.
That sounds like a typical night out for you guys.
I think we were at the Sophie this time.
You're at the Sophie. Okay, you're at the Sophie.
Because that's where I usually keep the safe.
Yes, having just opened the safe and looked at the photograph of Count von Heldorf, the high-ranking Nazi that you'd beaten and almost managed to kidnap, but he had been whisked away by the cat things on their little furry backs, which is a very silly image. But you looked at the photograph and surprise, surprise, I suppose it wasn't a great surprise because you kind of were expecting it. I think Anne-Marie was convinced that there would be something changed, and there was, because Count von Heldorf had a great big shiner, a great big old black eye in the photograph, where the result of him being thwacked in the face, probably by Katorian, I imagine. Was it Katorian or was it someone else?
No, it was me. Of course it was Max.
I'm just good at threatening.
And of course, you are very absorbed in this. And this is how, perhaps I should have spoken to you separately, Henry, but I trust the rest of you guys to separate character and player knowledge. So Henry, here's the deal with Eckhart. His one fixated purpose right now is to somehow get that film and get it back to Salon Kitty, to Kitty Schmidt. Now, you would not be reckless about it. You wouldn't, like, endanger yourself in any great way to do it. You're still yourself. You have a sense of...
My motivations are twisted now. I understand. And I will try the best I can in character.
Exactly, exactly.
And Eckhart is ultimately a talker. That's what makes it difficult. He's not going to, like, just try to fist fight Max because he knows he'll lose. And then be shot, probably. Like, jeez.
And I would say, just for this, I think it wouldn't make sense if you suddenly got violent with your friends anyway. Because they're still your friends. You don't want to hurt them.
It's just her thing, and it makes perfect sense for her to get her thing back, because it's her thing.
But at the same time, you do know that they wouldn't want you to do it. I would say that...
Yeah, and I need to trick them or something.
Yeah, exactly. And the rest of you, of course, you have no idea this is happening.
I don't know how this is going to work. It's impossible.
This is for you guys to roleplay out and see what happens. And of course, you've got no reason to be suspicious of Eckhart either.
Can I just give you my way of looking at it before we do this, so everyone understands, so there's no misunderstanding? Like, ever since I have become very attached to this package and its contents, because that is the only form of control that I feel that I have. That's the reason why it's in the safe and everything like this. However, I will point out that Eckhart has been the closest thing to a trusted lieutenant that I've had apart from Aegon, who is the only person that I trust implicitly. I'm a very suspicious as they come. But yeah, Eckhart is the closest thing to somebody that I would trust apart from Aegon. And the other thing is, I'm still drugged.
You are still drugged.
I'm suspicious, but that doesn't mean that I'm necessarily observant.
Far from it. You're in fact hallucinating, as is Safina. You've been hallucinating, both of you, for the last hour. I mean, remember, Safina, you thought you heard and saw cat things inside the salon.
So what about this film strip, then? It's a magical photograph, and this is created with some strange process, too. I look at it again and, like, hold it up to the light.
Indeed it is.
Well, I think that the process of developing it is what made the film strip different. So does the photo... Hold on, but there's another copy of this photo, right? Because we made a copy, I thought.
The photo, yeah.
I'm going back to the photo, yeah. Because now what I'm wondering is if it's the process of developing the photo that makes it magic, or the photo itself. So maybe we should compare it to the other photo that we have. Who has that? The journalist? Or the lawyer has it?
That's been sent to the lawyer.
Yeah, maybe we should bring this to the lawyer and compare it. The photo anyways, I don't know about the film strip. I haven't got anything on that. I already talked to the guy with the best nose in town.
I don't like that idea at all.
You want to bring the lawyer here?
No, I don't want the lawyer here either.
What is a lawyer going to do for us?
He's holding the copy of the photo.
That's good.
Yeah, we need to see the other photo, the one he has, to see if it's changed.
Oh.
Because then we'll know if it's the printing of the photo, the paper it's on, that's the magic, or if it's the photo itself. And then we can decide if the film strip is the same.
Just call him on the phone and have him look at it.
That's what I'll do. Actually, I'll do that right now.
Okay, so you go to your private phone booth. I like the idea that you have your own private phone booth. It's velvet-lined for sound insulation with a little window in it. And you sit down on this little red velvet-covered stool and you pick up the receiver and go through to the operator. And after about 5 minutes, the telephone crackles and your lawyer, Konrad Blick.
Konrad Blick. Herr Blick.
Herr Blick. He says,
Herr Katarian, it is very late. Why are you calling me like this?
Please take a look at the photograph that I gave you to pull the dead man switch and tell me what you see. Describe it for me exactly what you see.
Herr Katarian, it is 11 o'clock at night. Can't this not wait until the morning?
Ordinarily it would, but some weird things are happening.
Oh, I was having a lovely dream about Marlene Dietrich.
I have that dream sometimes myself.
Wow.
Okay, Herr Katarian, you...
You guys always go so sleazy so fast.
I didn't describe the dream. I just said, I have it.
He says, oh, Herr Katarian, because you are such a valued client, I will do this for you this one time.
And then there's a click. And then, about 5 minutes later, he says,
Herr Katarian, I thought you gave me explicit instructions never to open this envelope. You wish me to open it now?
I wish you to open it now, to look at it, and then to put all the contents carefully in a new sealed envelope and never open that again. It's an emergency.
Very well. Do you wish me to put the old envelope in the new envelope as well? No, I can keep the old envelope.
You can keep the...
Very good, because envelopes are expensive these days. Anyway.
You hear this tearing sound and a sliding of paper, and he says,
this photograph. Now I am looking at it. Have you lost weight?
No.
You look very fat in this one. Anyway.
Huh.
No, that is a red herring. Do not read anything into
that's
that.
That's a clue.
That's not a clue. It's not a clue. It's just me being silly. It's me being silly.
It's not real. They're wearing a Marco skin.
He says,
who is this naked man you have on the leash?
This is not good.
Hector, I can see why you don't want me to see this photo in the past. But what is it you wish to know? I did not know you liked such strange activities at night.
I wish you to describe for me everything that you see in the photo in detail.
Konrad Blick is looking now at your photograph. He's asked you if you've put on weight, but that was just a red herring. And he says,
so, Mr. Katarian, Herr Katarian, you wish to know what, then? I mean, you sent me this photo, now you ask me to look at it. Well, I see a naked man with a ball gag, I believe it is called.
I interrupt here and I say, why don't you just ask about the guy with the black eye?
Katarian likes to just milk a moment. Let him milk the moment.
Katarian, this poor man was asleep. Just get to the point.
Who is that in this view? They seem sensible here, Katarian. No black eye. Black dog. Poodle, I believe. But no black eye. Very sad. For this, you interrupt my dream of Marlena.
And then he puts the phone down. There is no black-eyed Count von Heldorf in the copy. Technically, it's not a piece of film, but yeah.
The photograph. Yes. The film, we don't know what it is. How long a piece of film is it?
8 frames.
So not long enough to play in a...
It's like a quarter of a second. You wouldn't even see it, really. It would be a flash. Well, maybe a bit more than the flash, but yeah.
Yeah, and then keep seeing it over and over again. If you loop it into another piece, it's just as long, and then you won't see, your eye will compensate for the difference, and you will be able to see it. But I don't know that because I'm not...
It was a long time ago, but when you looked at it, there weren't even enough frames to see any movement. I mean, basically, Agnes Esterhazy was just standing there, really. So, yeah.
And we know that it's her, and there wasn't enough detail. We didn't. There was nothing else in the room that seemed... Well, we knew where it was, right?
No, there was a blurry figure in the background.
Well, that's why seeing it might be nice. Well, we tried to blow it up, right? We already did that.
We could go and try and find the film, if it's in, like, a record or a studio somewhere.
Can I just say one thing? I don't want to metagame this or impose anything, but there's no real reason why any of you would be fixated on the film right now, because...
Yes, there is, because it smells strange. And I tried to cut it.
That's true.
I'm not as worried about, interested in this piece of film as I am the whole movie. Maybe we can see what's going on in the background.
We know who's out to get us, though. That was, like, what we're doing here. So what's our next move there? Like, the film is weird. Maybe we can project it on a wall and see.
Well, the reason why I'm interested in the film is because it's a blurry figure in the back. If we can find the actual movie, we can probably see who that figure is. And that might be somebody that somebody like Max might know if they're in the film industry. That might be another person we could go up to. That's the reason why I'm interested in it. The magic part of it, I have no idea.
He can probably guess because he knows the film. It's The Golem of Prague.
Max, you know the film?
Yeah, I did. I remembered the film, The Golem of Prague. I don't know if I remember the scene, though.
But you know the actors in it. So you could probably narrow it down.
Sure.
So looking at it, it is either Albert Steinruck or Ernst Deutsch, who play two rabbis in the film.
Now, do I know either of them?
Make an acting role.
What is the acting role?
I don't know. Artcraft acting? Do you not have that?
Yeah, but I'm not a very good actor.
That's probably why you don't know them, if you're not a very good actor.
I built sets as well. Could I make a... Is there a mechanical role?
Well, what is your film-based skill? Is it acting?
No, well, I was in one film, basically.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm a stuntman, and I also help build the sets.
Okay. So you don't actually have an acting skill at all?
No. This is why I'm only in one film.
Why do you have pilot?
I've flown... I'm a stuntman. I guess I did everything.
Okay, in that case, you can make a pilot role.
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah, it needs to be a hard success. Okay, well, I'm going to take the first of your pilot roles.
Yeah.
All right, well, unless you want to push the role...
No.
Or spend a ton of luck...
I think I'll push the role.
Yeah, tell me how you're going to push your pilot role to find out who this actor, blurry actor is.
I think I don't know him, but I think I know someone who does. The same guy who I rang before.
Who's that? I can't remember.
It was an old actor.
Oh, yeah, the one who's like, never talked to me again.
Yeah, actually, I think he was a set... What was he... He was a cinematographer. I called him about the film, and he developed it, and I had an accident that ruined his film and got him fired. I bet other than Alban Grau, I think that's the only guy whose number.
Okay, so that's how you're going to have to do it. Now, I'll tell you what the consequences are if you fail. So,
yep. Oh, so you want me to do it before? I thought you were going to tell me before.
No.
And what am I using here?
You need to roll pilot again, and you need to get a hard success.
You're being very generous letting me use pilot, I think so, rather than charm, for example.
No. And you can't spend luck on this one. So here's what happens. You spend about 2 hours futilely calling all the numbers that you know, and they've all been disconnected. You've literally been exiled from the acting and set making and stunt performing community, and you realize that you've been cancelled, basically.
You've been cancelled?
And from now on, you will not be able to use your contacts, at least from your acting.
That's fair. I probably got cancelled for punching a Nazi.
Yeah. However, because it's taking you 2 hours to do this, Eckhart, maybe you have an opportunity, because everyone is kind of bored and distracted. Whilst...
Yeah. I was, like, looking at the film strip and talking about it. And so if no one was, like, paying attention to it, it might have just dropped into my pocket.
I think it might have. So, Eckhart, you need to roll a sleight of hand roll. And I'll give you a bonus dice because no one would be expecting this.
I figured dropping it into my pocket while everyone's distracted,
yeah,
that's easy, right? But the sleight of hand roll should be, I get it into my pocket and then, or I don't know, maybe a different roll. Then I pack up the stuff and I say, like, I put it back in its thing and say, like, should give this back to Aegon.
Okay, yeah, so thinking that you've put it all back in the packet. Okay, well, make it with hit the purple on sleight of hand. You're 10% in sleight of hand.
With a bonus die.
Now, I would say you would spend... I was going to say, well, I think you're going to have to push that roll, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you have put it in your pocket, but everyone suddenly, you know, as you're making the rather too obvious... play pantomime of putting it back into the folder, everyone sort of senses that you're acting a bit oddly. So what are you going to do? I mean, you could push it with a fast talk roll.
Is that... Oh, you can push it with a different roll.
If you can think...
Okay. Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to stand up and, like, close the thing and say, whoa, I'm feeling maybe I picked something up at that brothel after all. I think it might be time for me to go to bed. Give this back to Aegon.
All right. You don't get a bonus this time, so just roll a regular... You can't use luck.
Ah, by one.
You fail by one.
I don't think that happened so quickly.
So, right, the rest of you are suddenly very suspicious of Eckhart.
Eckhart, do you have something you want to tell me?
Why is he making such a song and dance of this? And you know that he didn't get affected by the brothel, by the drugs. Right.
Aegon, you know I've given you a raise.
Everyone should make a psychology roll. Oh, well, it doesn't matter because Anne-Marie is super suspicious. Ultra suspicious. Okay. He's quite good at psychology. Oh, wow, he's really good at psychology. But I rolled a 95. So actually, all of you don't think it, except Anne-Marie. You suddenly realize that Eckhart is behaving oddly. And you know that he didn't get affected in the salon.
Are you going to eat pie?
So I say, how long did you spend with that witch? And I eyeball him.
You go right up to him and look at
him. Yeah, I stare at him.
No more than a few minutes. She creeped me out and I got out of there.
You may not be aware of your own actions, but I think that you put something in your pocket.
What do you mean?
Check your pocket. And I indicate the pocket that he put it in.
I reach in and pull the thing out and look at it with surprise.
Yes, I think that I've read about this in the one of the magazines on the flight back. And you may be under a witch's spell, form of hypnosis.
I run for the door. I'm like bolting for the door and just like getting out. By the way, I still have the keys to the car.
Do you have the photograph?
I've got the film strip up.
Here's how we're going to do this. You're going to have to make an opposed dexterity roll against Anne-Marie to see whether you can move first.
That's the last person you want to have to make an exposed roll against, the dancer.
No, I'm not that good.
Yeah.
Well?
No, he's very dexy. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
Okay, well, I don't need to push it. I mean, I don't need to spend luck.
Okay.
No, I failed.
All right. Well, Eckhart manages to bolt for the door before anyone can move. But, of course, you see that he's running. But none of you know what he's done except Anne-Marie. So, Anne-Marie, you can react now.
Wait, I'm going to say, he's under the spell of the witch. He has the film. Max!
I'm going to chase. Yeah, I'm going to give chase.
Aegon! I'm only wearing one shoe. That's probably why I couldn't move fast enough.
Right. Okay, so who's going to give chase? Everyone.
Me.
All right.
Definitely.
Max. Anyone else?
Me too, actually.
I'm not going to try to stop him. I'm going to go right for the car because I know that he's going to try to drive away, right? Because he's going to go far away.
Okay.
Like, I want to try to get in the car before him. I'm going to try to beat him to the car.
So you're chasing.
I'm going to try and do the same except for the car stuff.
Okay.
Just beat him.
Okay. Well, those of you that are chasing and Eckhart, you all should make a constitution roll.
Am I still tripping face? Can I chase?
Yeah, you're still tripping. You get a penalty dice. Actually, and so does Katrin.
So do I.
I would also like to give chase.
So I make constitution?
Yes. Oh my word.
Whoa, okay.
It was fated you to get that you'd get away.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Oh my god, I'm not a good chaser at all.
All right, fail, pass, fail. Katrin with a penalty dice.
Oh my god.
I'm not good at it anyway.
Yeah, you get an 85. Yeah. Right, wow. Well, this is... The dice tell the story. You rolled an extreme. So the only person that passed was Max, yeah?
Yeah.
Everyone else failed. Right, Max. So your movement speed is 7. He might have just got away because he rolled an extreme. His movement speed goes up to 8. No, he doesn't completely get away, but he's going to get an extra action every round. So Eckhart, you managed to get out of the door from the kitchen and you're running through Cafe Sophie. The only person who's managed to react quickly enough and is fast enough off their heels is Max, who's hot on your heels, but you've managed to get quite a good distance away from him. As you're charging through the cafe, there's perhaps still a few late night revelers there having their last sips, their last coffees, their last maybe some toasted sandwiches, whatever it is that they have at midnight on a Thursday night. And they're making an obstruction in between you and the door. So your options are to either try and barrel through them, which would be a strength or a frighting brawl roll, and you'll probably have some very pissed off customers, or you can try and evade them, which would kind of dodge around them, which would be a dex roll. So do you want to go for brute strength?
No way I could make it a size roll?
No, I would say strength. I would say strength.
I guess it'd be the opposite, really. Okay.
Yeah, your size actually is an impediment to you now rather than a benefit. So, yeah, you go charging through as the guests in Cafe Sophie look up with shock at this big, ugly man barreling through the restaurant towards them, yelling.
Can I make it an intimidate roll? If I'm like, move!
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here's the deal. If you pass, it means you're going to get more distance between you and Max. If you fail, he's got a chance of keeping up with you. So it's up to you. Either that, or you can carefully go around them and take your time.
No, I'm going to scream at them to skitter out of my way.
Okay, so what do you say?
And because I'm scary, I get a bonus on Intimidate. I just say, move! Now!
Right, roll that. Intimidate with the bonus dice. Oh my god. You get an extreme. Remember, you can tick all of these skills that you're passing right now. So they all look absolutely terrified. Plates of toasted cheese sandwich go flying in the air as they sort of just scatter backwards. Some of them fall backwards over their chairs to get out of your way in absolute panic. Beer goes flying through the air and you've charged right through and you've made it through to the door without any problems. Now,
I'm sorry, guys.
The dice want this to happen, so it's fine. Right, Max, you can see that Eckhart is escaping you. Unless you try and also get past these patrons who are now kind of almost like crowding your passage.
I thought he cleared the path for me.
Both of you are going to have to overcome each obstacle in turn. Just because he clears it doesn't mean you've cleared it. So it's your call. If you carefully try and pick your way through the crowd, he's going to be almost at the car before you can get to him, before you can get anywhere, even out the door.
Can I just barge through them?
You can barge through them. So what do you want to do? A strength or a fighting brawl?
Strength or a dex, you mean? I'll use my strength.
Yeah, you can use strength or dex or fighting brawl.
I think my strength and my fighting brawl are the same.
Well, then rate it how you wish and then make the roll.
I'm just charging through them.
Then you should use fighting brawl so you can have a chance to tick it.
I've already ticked it. So. It's also both a 90, so I'm just put my head down and charge through like silent films I've seen.
Oh, man.
All right, so make your strength roll. Yes. You send a couple of patrons flying. I want you to roll a damage roll.
Oh, no.
So roll a D3 and a D6.
And add them together?
Yeah.
And I kill someone?
No, they're not dead, but basically the two people that you plowed into, they're both unconscious on the floor.
Knocked out cold.
Because, Ryan, you see this happening through the swinging open door of the kitchen.
Oh, dear. I'm yelling for Aegon. Aegon, the door!
Okay, Aegon is too slow to react at this point. He's, you know, this is all happening in a blink of an eye. Now, here's the fight. We're going to make one more roll, and here's the deal. Eckhart, you need to get into the car and start the car and go. So it's a drive roll, basically. You can either just take it slowly, make sure you put the key in, turn the key, get away. But then Max would have a chance against you, or you can make the drive roll, and then there's no way he can get to you because you'll be too far ahead.
So I wouldn't roll?
In the second instance, you wouldn't roll, but then he's got a chance. To be honest, there's no option. You should do the roll, because even if you fail, he still has to make his roll. So it's the same either way.
Okay, so... Oh, there you go.
You're fumbling for the keys. You can push this. You can spend luck. It's your call.
It's too much luck. If you're not going to make me, I wouldn't do this unless it was life or death, because I'm at 60 and it would put me at, like, 30.
Can I ask how far away he is from me? Because if he was about to get away, I wouldn't try and get in the car. I'd just jump on the car.
Okay, it's sort of abstracted. It's not done in distance. It's done in, like, steps. Almost like dramatic points. So yes, that's exactly what you would do because it's so dramatic. So Eckhart, if you fail the push roll, he's going to be get a chance to jump on the back of the car.
Okay, so I push the drive roll.
And Max, you dive through the air, make a jump roll.
Sure. They're the same. My jump's a little worse, but so jump?
Yeah, make a jump roll. Do you want to push the roll? You start seeing the car just accelerating away. Describe what happens as the car is accelerating away.
Yeah, I just fall face first. I jumped into the ground, basically.
Your arms are out. You do basically just a swan dive. Just arms out, and you land with this horrific thump.
As the car pulls away.
Given how big you are and falling flat onto the ground... Okay, you do take 7 damage as you land face first.
Ouch.
But the good thing is you check your body and there's no cracks.
So since we people have failed the first roll like me, where are we now? Are we just still standing in the kitchen? Like that happened that quickly, or could we be?
Okay, so cutting back to you guys, Max and Eckhart got way ahead of you before you could react.
Can I shoot at the car is what I'm going to ask you. Because if we're outside fast enough to shoot at the tires, that's what I would do. Otherwise, I'll just help Max up.
Okay, well, given that you've got a reasonable... Because you actually knew that Eckhart was running, you need to make a dexterity roll to get past the crowd.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going to risk my life because I know where he's going. Well, I think I know where he's going, to the seance. We saw him in the picture. Oh, no.
Oh, you failed your dex roll. Do you want to spend luck on that? Do you want to push the roll?
No, I only have one shoe. I threw my shoe at those prostitutes, remember? So I'm not having a good day here.
So you're just going to give up the ghost, going to let Eckhart get him?
I hear the car take off and I just stop and take my shoe off and then I walk out and I see Max on the ground.
Amazing. But of course, I mean, Amory, given that you made that psychology role, I'll say you do know where he's going. You know he's going back to Salon Kitty.
Yeah, that's what I think. Or to the seance, at the very least.
The seance is in 2 days, isn't it? It's not today.
The seance is in 2 days. That wouldn't make any sense, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I help Max up. I look, Max, I kind of put my hand on him. I'm not very strong, but I try to help him up. And I say, he's gone to see the witch. I assume she's a witch now because of the whole witch thing. But let's check the picture.
Which one?
The one that he had garnered knowledge of.
Well, we need to get there. We need to go now. Let's go.
Right, but if we look at the picture, then we'll know if the fates have changed. Aren't you interested in the mysticism of this?
I'm interested in getting that film back.
At this point, I want the film back. Let's sod everything else, yeah.
Do you have another car, Katorian?
No, I don't. My trusted driver just took off with my vehicle.
So how are we going to get there?
Taxi!
Could we stop at my place and get some new shoes before?
No, let's go.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to get a taxi. So a little while later, a taxi turns up and you'll jump in and head off to Salon Kitty. But of course, Eckhart, being the excellent driver he is and having made an extreme drive role, you plow through the traffic, Eckhart.
They'll understand. All I have to do is get the film back to Madame Kitty and everything will be okay. They'll understand. They'll forgive me. Once they know what's important.
Yeah.
I'll be able to explain to them.
Of course you will. And a little while later, you're there at the doorway, a Salon Kitty looking up into the bohemian decadence of the place. And the next few minutes pass in a blur. You're pretty sure you're greeted by someone and then taken upstairs. And Kitty is there, and as she speaks to you, you feel really drowsy. And she says, "Ah, oh, Eckhart, I am so pleased that you were so kind as to bring this thing back. But please, you must come upstairs and give it to its rightful owner." And she leads you up past the second floor. So she takes you up to her boudoir again. And she says, "But not here. Let us go to the front room, because that is where the person who most desperately needs this film is. I'm sure they will want to thank you in person for being so thoughtful and kind." And so she takes you through, and you go through to another bedroom at the back. So you go through the luxurious bathing room again, and then through into the vestibule, into the bedroom. And it's decked out in classic bordello fashion, with a fire blazing in a red marble fireplace. And there's a Japanese paper screen at the back of the room, and there's a voice that comes from behind it. And the voice is very elegant and a little bit cold. And she has an accent. It's a woman. You could roll an education roll to see if you can place the accent, because I won't be able to do it. I know I can't do this accent very well.
Education roll?
Yeah. Okay, yes. It's a Hungarian accent. And the voice says, "My dear boy, you have brought the things that I wish for. Please, step forward. Come towards me." Okay. It is very strange. Kitty is standing behind you and just watching approvingly. And the voice coming from behind the screen, it's as if she's concerned for her modesty, as if she were changing behind the screen. And as you get closer, you can make a spot hidden roll. Something's very strange. The fireplace flickering in the red marble, casting deep shadows across the room. You don't understand, because all you can see on the paper screen is the frame. There's no shadow being cast by this woman onto the screen. And then the voice again. And judging by where the voice is, she's sitting or standing right next to the screen. You can hear by where the voice is coming from. and yet there is no shadow, there's no outline. And you can see that the fire is actually illuminating the screen. You can see almost see through the screen, and that kind of, you can't see through it, it's not transparent, but you can see the light coming through it, and yet there's no shadow cast. And then the voice says, "The side table there, please put the strip down."
I put it there.
And then a hand appears from the side of the screen, reaches out and picks up the film strip. And it is very strange. You could swear, if you weren't having some strange moment, you could swear that that hand was in black and white. And then it withdraws and holding the film strip. And then the voice from behind you, Kitty, this voice says, "Mr. Eckhart, please come back." And she snaps her fingers. And Eckhart, you're now realizing what has happened. You're now back to yourself completely.
Probably pull my pistol on Kitty.
How rude.
And like, what did you do to me?
So she looks a little bit surprised. She says, "Herr Schild, is this any way to treat a lady in her own house?"
I look at the screen, keeping her at gunpoint. So I look behind it.
Well, let's say before you can move, Kitty is fairly wary. Maybe you start making moves, and she says, "Herr Schild, please, do not look behind the screen. It would not be good."
Tell me what's going on here.
"Please put away the gun. I do not wish to hurt you, Mr. Schild, and nor does my companion. But we will, if we are forced to. We have not hurt you yet. We have just asked you to do us a favor."
"You made me steal from my friends. You threatened my life."
"Steal? How can one steal what is belongs to oneself, Herr Schild? This was stolen from us."
"And now that you have it, will you come for us? Convince me that I shouldn't kill you now, whatever the consequences, for the sake of my friends' lives."
"You have got tangled up in business, you see. In matters that do not entirely concern you. I wish to bring you no harm, Herr Schild, but I will not stop if you threaten us. You must believe me now. You understand some degree of the power that I have. And my friend behind this screen, who are so keen to see, she makes me look like a child in comparison. So take this threat seriously, Herr Schild. I will let you leave unharmed if you put your gun away and walk out the door now."
Can I make a psychology roll to know if she's, like, if this is, like, completely a bluff, or rather, like, if it's completely true, or if, like, ultimately she really does not want me to put a bullet in her chest right now? Like, just, like, is she afraid of being shot on a basic level? That's what I want to know.
All right, make a psychology roll then.
I will push that for a hard success if it matters. Or not push it, but spend luck.
Spend luck. Yeah, if you spend 5 luck, I will give you more insight than you would have got. Yeah. So you sense, yes, initially she is scared of you. Of course, you have a gun, but you also then realize that her threat is by no means empty. And somehow you get the sense that she doesn't really have it in for you. That what she said about you just being accidentally tangled up in these matters perhaps is true. But then how would that explain the photograph? That's the thing that doesn't make sense.
And sending goons after us.
So, you're at a tense moment. Your gun is still in your hand. And Kitty is saying, "I will only give you a few more seconds to decide, Herr Schild. Your finger is on the trigger. But one word from my friend and or from me, and you will be in a world of trouble."
Yeah, I'm going to go. I pull back the hammer and I just bounce. Head for the door.
She says, "Very sensible, Herr Schild. Very sensible." And yeah, you make your way down and out of Salon Kitty. And you're perhaps a bit surprised that no one stops you. There are no thugs. There are no rotter. There are no cat things. And you get to your car, perhaps just as your friends are turning up in a cab. The cab arrives and I guess the rest of them get out.
She has it. I'm sorry.
Eckhart?
Punch him in the face, is what I said.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very mad.
All right, so you walk up to him.
Well, also, I don't know that he snapped out of it. I think he's still under the spell, and maybe he's driving away.
Okay, all right.
Well, no, I don't get in the car. I stop when I see you.
I was going to reason with him for a second, and bang. But actually, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah, so Max, you just walk up and make a fighting roll.
I won't use my extra damage.
Yeah, I don't, like, defend myself at all. I mean, I'm not expecting it.
No. Oh, so you're just going to take it on the chin?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Right, roll a d3 then. This is pure pulp. This is a pure pulp moment. So, yeah, you get him with a really nice short punch on the chin, and you're rocked back a couple of steps at Cart, which perhaps brings you even more back to your senses.
I deserve that.
Oh, that actually makes me stop. Yeah. Okay, so now I pause. I'm like, what?
She has it, and we should burn this place to the ground.
She has it, and we should burn this place to the ground. I am still hallucinating.
I only didn't do it because I thought you might be mad.
Ordinarily, you realize, Eckhart, that I liquidate people who steal from me, correct?
Yes, I know. But I was magicked.
Escatorid, he was under the influence of a witch. You could be as well.
I'm under the influence of something a little bit more chemical.
For whatever purpose, it's Agnes
Esterházy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, you know that Agnes Esterházy is Hungarian.
Right, yeah. She's there, and I don't know what she is, but she seems to have become a film or something. I don't know. Either way, she's in this building right now.
She became a film?
Look, you and I have seen some weird stuff.
Trust me, I know.
But what does it mean that she has the film?
I don't know. I
don't know. Like, she can regain her body or something like that.
Well, is that bad?
We could ask that woman who gave it to us.
Or Alistair.
Yeah, I was just about to say your boyfriend can tell us a little more about that.
Well, we're going to see him in 2 days, right? Maybe we should just wait till then.
I say, I pull from my cloak my sawn-off shotgun. I say, should we just go take it back?
I have a feeling that she right now has whatever she needed to do to, like, unleash all unholy hell on Earth. This is, like, the moment when we all drank the milk.
Oh, have you been drinking the milk?
No.
No, not you, Eckhart.
Something like that. Not exactly. I didn't drink anything. No, she never actually touched me. She cast some kind of spell and got in my head.
Did she say why she wanted the film back?
No.
Well, let's ask. And I start walking towards the building.
No, you should not go in there.
Well, I've been in brothels before.
No. This one is no mere brothel. Trust me. Peril lies within.
No. The damage is already done, and I have no idea now how to undo it.
Yeah, we should go. If we're not going to set this place on fire, we should go.
I don't think burning down a place is innocent girls in there that are just trying to make a living.
I'm not sure how many of them are innocent.
Let's just have this conversation elsewhere, because we're not, like, unanimous in setting a fire.
No, we're getting out of here.
I should have done it.
You can all make a psychology roll at this point.
Okay.
Nope. Oh, yeah. Nope. This totally makes sense. Everyone except Catrion is too wrapped up in trying to get their heads around what on earth to do and what's going on. But Catrion, it's that sense that human beings have that they know when they're being watched. And you look up to the second floor, to the window overlooking the street, and you see a face at the window looking down at you, and it's the face of Agnes Esterházy.
And I nod at it, looking at it knowingly, like, uh-huh.
And she flickers for a moment, as if she's a projection.
Mm-hmm.
And her movements are jerky, as if she was on a film reel being wound, but you realise that she is sitting there, and something about that and the fact that you've been hallucinating makes your mind do a little bit of a backflip as it all kind of starts to make some kind of perverse sense. And you are going to have to make a sanity roll.
Even as it's a moment of clarity in a weird way. It's a moment of clarity in an insane way.
So actually you don't lose any sanity.
Yay! No, in a weird way, it was almost, I would think that it's almost comforting that my insane realization is actually real.
Perhaps what it is that you think it's a hallucination.
What's comforting is the description Eckhart gave to you. Seems to be accurate. She became a film.
Right. I'm not crazy. There's just weird shit going on, and you can handle that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the blinds are drawn again, and then the street is quiet. And I think that's probably where we should end the session.
We're all dead now, I'm sure, for whatever reason.
No, but I just before I say that, I look at Eckhart and go like, okay, so we understand each other, imperiously.
So I take it you're not going to burn down Xalon Kitty.
No,
quite
no.
Yet.
I just go start the car, wait for everyone to get in.
I'm going to ask that you drive me to the rabbi's place. I need to be healed.
Oh, shit. But, well, don't you remember what happened?
He's not alive anymore.
What? When did he die?
Well, you saw his face on one of those cat things.
Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't realize that meant he was dead. I thought I was going nuts.
I mean, I don't know. You should go and check, definitely.
I asked them to drive to the Dollmaker's house.
Okay.
How does that work anyways? Because I've been down 3 hit points since the beginning of this whole endeavor. How do we heal?
You get back 2 hit points per day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I think when I fell in the water on the very first session is when I lost.
You get 2 hit points back per day. But and also if someone does first aid on you and whatever. So I'm assuming that everyone is back to sort of full hit points because you haven't been in a fight. Oh, no, you got into a fight quite recently, though. You got into plenty of fights.
Yeah, we get into fights all the time.
I haven't been in a fight. You guys are in fights.
We're scrappy.
You were in a fight. You just didn't get injured. You knocked someone out.